Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. And we'll be reading verses 9 through 13. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. And before we read God's Word, let's pray and ask for the Lord's help upon us. Our Father, we praise You. How gracious and merciful You are in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we're thankful that You have not withheld Your Word from us, but You speak Your Word to us here in the Scriptures. And Father, we pray that You would give us now ears to hear and eyes to see Jesus Christ, Your Son. Teach us to pray in accordance with Your Word. And Father, that we would honor You with our, not only our minds and hearts, but our lips. That we would pray and plead and cry unto You, even knowing that Christ Jesus, Your Son, lives to make intercession for us and perfect our prayers, and that every answer to His interceding prayers for us and perfecting our prayers is yes and amen from You. We give You praise for this. We're thankful for the comfort You give us in that, and pray that You would be faithful to hear Him as You hear us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 9. These are God's words. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Those are God's words. Here in this passage, we come to now, we look at the sixth petition and the final petition there in verse 13, the very first part of verse 13, which says, And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the first point looking at this morning is our weakness. Our weakness. Here we are acknowledging in praying this particular petition, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We are admitting our weakness before the Lord. You remember last Lord's Day when we looked at the previous petition in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, that what is implied in that is a confession of our sins. We're saying we're a sinner. We're a sinner. If we're praying, forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts, we're acknowledging that we are sinners. We sin. You sin. I sin. We have committed many sins. We still commit sins even right now in our thoughts or desires, whatever it might be, because we have, all of us, the God who created us. And yet we have rebelled against Him and broken His commandments, His law, and He is who? He is Isaiah 6. We're almost there in the evenings. He is holy, holy, holy. He is righteous. He is just. And so He has to, He must punish sins. He must punish all rebellion against Him. There is no way out of that for you before Him. He must punish, for He is faithful to His promises, all of them. And He is therefore just. Romans 14 says, For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to Me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us. He's speaking to Christians, the church. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Are you ready? Are you ready to give an account of yourself to God? Of all that you've thought and said and done in your life, to come before the Lord and give an account of that before Him, of which He already knows everything, we heard in Proverbs 15, verse 3. Are you ready to do that? Because that day is coming nearer today than yesterday. Today is, and tomorrow will be one more day nearer to that time when you have to give an account. If you, by God's will, if you make it to that day. Because your life may be taken, or your days may be numbered, even today. You will have to give an accounting of your life before the living and true God. To Him. And your accounting will be what? What will you say? Well, if you do not have salvation in Jesus Christ, your account will be sin. Just sin. This is all that I've done. This is all that I can offer to you, Lord. And it's just filled with sin. And filled with rebellion against Him. You will be accounting how you rebelled and rejected the Lord God of heaven and earth over and over and over again. Your accounting will be unto your condemnation. It'll be unto your eternal peril. But you can be saved from that. You can be saved from that eternal punishment and great judgment in Jesus Christ. You in your ungodliness, unrighteousness can be saved in Jesus Christ. Because the Lord says, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, or perhaps, for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth His love toward us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Acts chapter 3, just as the prophets prophesied that Christ would suffer, He has so fulfilled. He did suffer. He died. And He suffered for all who would believe on Him, but their sins would be washed away, He promises. He received the eternal punishments and condemnation for their sin, for all those sins, if we believe on Christ, your sins. And so He says there in Acts 3, repent ye therefore, because Christ has suffered. Repent ye therefore. And be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Then what? That you would then, when you have to give an account before the Lord, you would be received by Him. By His mercy, because of and in union with Jesus Christ. And His perfect righteousness. And His death for you. His God's justice poured out upon Christ for you. So that then when your sins are forgiven in Christ, Jesus then teaches His followers, His disciples, you church, He teaches us that when our sins are forgiven, that we are still in great peril. We are still in great peril to be overcome again. Because we can be overcome again by the great tempter, Satan. And though we are saved from our sins, we are not completely free from those sins. We still continue in our sins. We're not slaves to sins anymore, but we still have sins. We still commit sins against God. Were we as Christians still only sin and nothing else? No, that's not true. We're not slaves. But now we're enabled by the Spirit to actually practice righteousness in Christ. And yet we still sin, so still struggle with sin, still tempted to sin, and so we must fight against sin. And so that as Jesus teaches here, that we have remaining sin, He's teaching us here that we are weak. Even as His children, as God's children, even as being adopted into the family of God, even as having that righteousness credited to us, because of Christ Jesus and our justification by faith alone. Even in that, we are weak. Because here we're pleading with the Lord. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation, Lord. And pleading, deliver us from evil. We're confessing that we're too weak to deliver ourselves. We cannot deliver ourselves. You cannot deliver yourself from evil. For Satan comes in great power, greater than your power. Greater than your power. And his craftiness and his malice. And Jesus teaches us to be sensible to the fact that we can be ensnared in temptation leading to sin. And so that we pray that we not be led in Satan's temptations. Galatians 5 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Again, he's speaking to the church. He's speaking to Christians about the warning of the warring of the flesh against the Spirit. Your flesh against the Holy Spirit. Your flesh battles against the Holy Ghost, Christian. But what are we to do? What are you to do, friend? You are to turn to the Lord and pray, Jesus says. And pray because you're weak. And He is strong. He says to His disciples in the garden, right before Jesus goes to the cross, and before He appears before the high priest and all these, He says to them in the garden, Matthew 26, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." The flesh is weak. Your flesh is weak, Christian. And so don't be deceived, Christian. Don't be deceived, or even all of you, all of us, if you're not a Christian. Don't be deceived into thinking and believing that if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're unstoppable, that you're immovable, that you can do whatever you want to do, that you can put yourselves in the most foolish and dangerous situations and everything will be fine. Because no, he says, the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. Consider the Apostle Peter. Peter. Probably, we could probably agree, more godly than all of us. Consider there with Jesus 3 years in His very presence. In the very presence of Jesus Himself for 3 whole years. And there being persecuted, Jesus is, and suffering under the hands of the Jewish leaders after the Garden of Gethsemane. They're suffering, being whipped, scourged. Matthew 26 again, and it says, "Now Peter sat outside in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out unto the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he, that's Peter, denied with an oath. He took an oath. I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them. For thy speech, the way you speak, he's saying, bewrayeth thee. It shows who you are. It reveals you. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. I know not Jesus Christ. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. He saw his weakness. Finally, Peter denied Jesus 3 times, his Savior 3 times. He was weak. Peter was weak. If Peter was weak, who was in the very presence of Jesus for 3 years, then Christian, do not be surprised to hear today that you are weak. Because the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. Friends, at all times we are liable to be led astray. At all times, liable to be led astray and fall. And so when we pray to the Lord, confessing our infirmities, we are to confess those weaknesses. Confess not only your sins, but confess your weaknesses. That you're weak. You're not strong enough. Secondly, in the passage, it gives us the second point. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. It's very clear. Verse 13 started stating the very point, states exactly the language of the second point here. Having prayed that the guilt of sin may be removed, we pray as it is fit that we may never return again to folly, foolishness. That we may never be tempted to sin. Now, does God tempt people? Absolutely not. James 1 teaches us this. He says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So there we see one aspect of temptation. We tempt ourselves to sin. Our flesh. We tempt ourselves to sin. Our flesh, as we've already shown, is weak, and those sins that we have held on to, sometimes unknowingly, they come up and entice us. The lust of our own flesh entice us, tempt us, and what pleases us more moves us towards those things. And we sin. And our own hearts need to be then fully cleansed of our sin, sanctified, washed completely, but as we study even with Paul, Romans 7, what does he say? He says he struggles with this. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me," right? In his flesh. "For I know that in me," that is in my flesh, he says, "dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Paul is there, he's struggling with his, and communicating, expressing this, struggling with his lust, he's struggling with his flesh as a Christian, and because of his fleshly lust tempting him to sin, he's falling into those things that he hates, sinning. And so he isn't doing what he wants to practice righteousness, and he is doing what he doesn't want, he's continuing to sin in his flesh. So not only does our fleshly lust tempt us, but the world tempts us. So the first part of that is the flesh tempts us, but also the world tempts us. Mark 4, and the parable of the sower and the seed. "And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." The world and all it contains tempts us to such covetousness, lustfulness after these, caring more about the things of the world than all the manifest blessings that God has granted to us in Christ Jesus that are infinite and eternal. We would rather have the finite and the gross things of the world. When the Lord has promised, He says, "I am the giver of every good and perfect gift from above. He's the Father of lights. The Lord promised us He is the giver of every good and perfect thing. But we go to where? We go to the world. And the world comes and it comes and tempts us to love the things that it provides instead of the God who gives good gifts. The world, the flesh, and the third one is the devil. The devil tempts us. He tempted Jesus at the weakest point in His flesh, or one of the weakest times in His flesh and His human nature, though He is the God-man, having fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And who led Him there to be tempted? For our sakes, that He would save you from your sins. And the book of Job. Who brought the devil to Job and allowed Job to be tempted for his eventual blessing? It was the Lord. The Lord led Jesus in Matthew 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. If the Lord is sovereign over you, He is. If He is sovereign over the world, He is, as both yours and the world's creator and Satan's creator. The Lord created Satan, right? It is Jesus Himself who has crushed the devil in His victory over sin. And so, who does Jesus call us to go to in prayer concerning our temptation? The Lord, who is sovereign over all the tempters. And so we come and plead, Lord, hold us up. Do not allow us to run into sin. And rather that we would be led to run unto You, Jehovah, in Christ. Lord, You order all things in heaven and on earth. You restrain us. Lord, restrain us from going into that which would injure our souls. Protect us and never let us to suffer to be tempted beyond that which we are able to bear, like 1 Corinthians 10 teaches. Right? It says, wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. There again showing our weaknesses. Therefore hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. What does that verse, those verses teach us? It teaches us that God is sovereign. He's ruling over all these things. He will not allow you to be tempted over beyond what you're able to bear. And He'll always give you a way to escape. Always. Because He's sovereign over the flesh, our flesh. He is sovereign over the world, and He is sovereign over Satan himself who tempts us. So even we must plead that when we have turned in our flesh towards sin, we must plead the Lord not lead us in His justice into more temptation. That the Lord would not lead us in His justice into more temptation. But hold that promise from 1 Corinthians 10 and be faithful. Deliver us, Lord, from temptation. Lead us not unto it. What are we praying here? We're praying, Lord, do not let Satan loose upon us. Chain up that roaring lion. For he is subtle and spiteful. Lord, do not leave us to ourselves, our flesh, for we are weak. Lord, do not lay a stumbling block, or the stumbling blocks and snares before us, nor put us in circumstances that may be an occasion of falling in the world. We pray with the psalmist in Psalm 19, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Right? Psalm 19 there is saying exactly what Jesus is calling us to pray here. We come to Him who tries His people like Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 32. Howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. God left him, that's Hezekiah, God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. So the Lord does test us. And friends, temptations are to be prayed against. Are they pleasing to you? No, pray against them. They bring great trouble to you. They are so dangerous, friends, even for the professing Christian, for all in the church, for the danger of temptation is that we can be overcome by them. And then there is guilt and grief then that follows when we enter into those sins. And so pray, sinner. Pray, Christian. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Because Satan, the world, your own flesh, is ready to draw you away from the Lord and snare you that you, even after you have turned in your heart and life to Jesus Christ for your salvation. Those things want you to be drawn away from the Lord. So what would it be, friends, if we were like Israel and Judah? Psalm 81, if we are being tempted and entered into sin and we're not able to get away from those sins. We've been learning about that in Isaiah. What it would be like if being tempted and then we fall into those sins and then we can't get out from those sins, what happens? Psalm 81 says, "But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust," flesh, "and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee." He says He wanted to bless them, but they went into their sins. He didn't listen to them. You were tempted, they fell into sin, and they just ran away and did not return because they would not listen. This point, now friends, Jesus calls us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." And then thirdly, He calls us, in the next phrase, to pray, "Deliver us from evil." We are to pray, "Deliver us from evil." And this point as well is right in the verse. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Deliver us, Lord, from the evil of this that is in the world. We hate sin. We hate evil. We hate when we see it, even if we're not committing the sin, we see it, we hate it. It's so wicked, even to our hearts. Everything wicked. Deliver us from the evil in the world. Deliver us from the evil in our own hearts, our flesh. Our own hearts, and deliver us from that evil one, Satan, the devil. That's what He's saying here as well. He's saying, deliver us from the world, the flesh, and the devil. Lord, we are pleading when we pray, we must be pleading that God would so overrule the world, as He is sovereign, that He would overrule the world and all in it for our sakes, for our good. And Jesus in John 17, He's praying to the Father before He goes to the cross, and He prayed this, and still is praying this for our sakes as He intercedes and lives to make intercession for us. He prayed, "I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth." So we're praying, Lord, would keep us and so overrule this world, but also that He would subdue our flesh. That He would subdue our flesh. Psalm 51, "Hide Thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities." And that's what we heard last Lord's Day. It continues, "Create in me," that's right, that's forgiving, "take all of my sins away, forgive me of my sins." And that Psalm 51, it continues in the next verse. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me." And David's there praying, "Deliver us from evil. Deliver me from evil." Psalm 119, we must pray, "Order my steps in Thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. And so we pray the Lord in His sovereign dominion would overrule the world. He would subdue the flesh, our flesh. And finally, that He would restrain Satan. 2 Corinthians 12. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And so we're praying, friends, that we would be delivered from the evil one, kept from the test of his onslaught, Satan's onslaught against our lives, that we will either be protected from such a terrible testing, or, in God's providence, face such a great testing as Paul did there, and will be protected in that testing with the armor that the Lord supplies. Right? He supplies His armor, right? Not our armor, His armor. The armor of God, Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And there's another evil. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so I'm praying, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's not only a praying for ourselves, but for all the saints, and for all the church, for the ministers of the gospel even, to preach without being dragged down by the devil into sin. But as much as we can divide these three attackers, the world, the flesh, and the devil, what about when they all come against you at the same time? Because that happens too. That's the ultimate test when confronted with all three, when they conspire together against you. We just read, we can deal with the devil in the strength of Christ. 2 Corinthians 12. We can deal with our flesh by the grace of God, and with the world even by the armor of God. What an evil day when indwelling sin, our flesh, is incited by the temptations of the world and worldly people, and then also stirred up by the activity of Satan, spurring us on to sin, even hiding sin's consequences, death, from us. We only can do one thing, besides that others that we've read. Lord, deliver us from evil. We can't do it. We must go to the Lord. Lord, deliver us from evil. The evil day even. Deliver us from that day. Pray to be delivered. The fact that Jesus is urging us here to pray to be delivered from evil should so assure us that our Father is both willing and able to deliver us. He's telling us, deliver us from evil. Well, the Lord is able, willing to do this, and able to do this, to deliver you. We know in 2 Timothy 4, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord, keep us from the evil of sin, the evil of death, the evil of that sting of death, which is sin. He is willing, God is willing and able, friends, to deliver you this day from the evil one. We are weak, but He is strong, right? Paul confesses and we confess with him. The professing Christian who does not know his weaknesses can neither pray this prayer nor experience God's strength. The one who does know his weakness and is a praying Christian will be held up and garrisoned and protected fully by the strength of the Lord. How are we to be delivered but to come to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ by the strength of the Holy Spirit in prayer and plead that He would so lead you and deliver you from all temptation and evil today and forever? It's a wonderful thing to know the truth and the promise of the Lord. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way is in Jesus. The truth is found in Jesus and His Word. And not all life sustained forever is found in Jesus alone. So come to the Father and pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The promise from our God to those who so pray in Christ Jesus, His Son, is a defeating and sanctifying of the flesh. 2 Corinthians 13. He says, Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your protection. Paul's saying to the church that that is their wish, for your protection. Or perfection. Perfection and holiness is which the Lord will bring. Satan will be trounced under our feet in Christ, as having been crushed by Christ Himself. Romans 16, And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Praise God. Right, Luke 22, And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. This is Jesus speaking to Simon. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. Just as Jesus prays for all of us. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Just as Jesus prayed for Simon, so he lives to pray for you the same. And the final promise is Jesus says in John 17, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. And he will do that. And he continues to pray that. And God, as we prayed earlier, the Father answers what? Yes and amen to that prayer. He's going to keep us from the evil. The Lord is faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5, we often hear in the benediction. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the blessing upon those who believe in Christ Jesus by faith. And the blessing that is received by those who believe on Jesus Christ by faith. And so praise the Lord who is faithful, who will keep us from evil and preserve us all who turn to the Father in Christ and pray. He will preserve us blameless to the last day. Praise Him. Let's pray. Our Father, we do give You all the praise. We're thankful that You're the God who's faithful to Your promises. We're thankful that You teach us to pray these things, that teaches us then that You are willing and able to do these things. And so, Lord, we do pray, as we've heard this morning, forgive us of our sins, our debts, in Christ Your Son, through His sacrifice. But Father, also, Father, lead us not into temptation. And the temptations that come from our flesh and the world and Satan, lead us not unto those, but deliver us from them. And deliver us from all evil, that we would be able on that final day to stand. And even in these days, in these evil days, to stand in the strength of Christ Your Son. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.